It's a Friday morning. The weekend is here with Sports Radio TSN 1200. So glad you're along for this 24th day of March 2023. Gang's all here. JR, Simmer, and Hammer. You're waking up to a mostly sunny day ahead today. You're welcome, Joe Biden. +2 later on today. We got some weather, though, rolling in tomorrow, it looks like. Going to have a cloudy start, but with some snow in the afternoon. Now, here in Ottawa, probably closer to 5 centimeters if you're north and or west of Ottawa. Toward Algonquin Park, etc., they're saying maybe 10 to 15 centimeters up that way. And then at some point, the snow is actually going to potentially transition into rain late in the day tomorrow or into the evening. So tomorrow's high 0. Again, snow will be mainly in the afternoon. And then on Sunday, showers or flurries, 4 degrees. As you wake up this morning, we are sitting at +1 as we say good morning, hello, happy Friday, happy weekend, happy start to his holidays. This man, very excited. He is Sean Simpson. How you doing this morning, Simmer?
I'm excellent, Jer. I sprung out of bed this morning like a 10-year-old ready for 6 a.m. hockey practice on a Saturday.
Oh.
Shut the alarm off and said, see you later for the next 10 days.
Oh.
So to ask me how I'm doing, I'm outstanding. Now, don't be sending any bad weather my way as I fly out tomorrow afternoon.
Ooh, what time?
It's 4:30 flight.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, so I'm scrambling a little bit there. So, yeah. But I think we'll be good to go. But hey, that made me a little bit nervous. But overall, I'm excellent. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. And Joe Biden and Air Force One leaving tonight, so you won't face any conflicts with having to do some sort of jet fighter exercises.
Yeah, I'm assuming he's went into Uplands anyway, but yeah that's quite a...
You flying out of Ottawa or Montreal?
Out of Ottawa.
Ottawa.
Yeah, they end up having direct flights down to Mexico, so that always makes it easy. So, yeah, quite the group, as you expect. They put on quite the show, the United States, right?
Mm.
Logistically, in shipping all those vehicles up, it's just incredible when you put that on. You see the motorcade coming yesterday, and multiple pull limousines. He's in the high-end stuff, none of this SUV stuff. He's got his bulletproof limo and everything else cruising in. So yeah, both for security, but I think the United States, they just love to put on a show, which is nothing wrong. Most powerful man on the planet. We're good to go.
Certainly the most protected man. Although I will say, as I left in the early afternoon yesterday and then came back this morning,
mm-hmm.
Along my regular route, I did not see, other than some American flags, see any evidence on the ground or in the sky of everything they had talked about, the security. Now,
I agree.
It will play itself out, especially today, because
last
night all he did was arrive
and
put on the Jam Jams at some point, tucked himself into Betty Bye.
And
today will be the full day in which he's going to be moving in and around Ottawa, and it's the day they're saying be prepared. If you do have to be downtown, there are going to be some traffic disruptions, as they call them. Some of them very sporadic. Some of them you'll be stopped. You'll go, what the is going on right now? And
that's
because
Super
Joe is moving around downtown.
And I see where Jill is heading off, play a little curling action.
Oh, right? Nice.
Probably from the simple fact she's from Delaware. I don't know if she knows that at all, but they'll have some fun. And I'm figuring if Joe, if you were going to say, like, I figure he's a beaver tail guy. What do you like? If he's coming down for a little snackola,
he's going to come down here to the market, like right outside our front door.
No, but I'm just thinking if he's kind of cruising around, right? Wouldn't that feel like a real typical Canadian kind of cruise around a little bit? Maybe stop at La Bottega, for a little sandwich there. Hey?
A little Sammy.
Yeah.
Well, we talked yesterday about just got to go to the McDonald's.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Before it closes down next month. Yeah. I'm just trying to think of
It is already shut down, Jer.
No, it's April.
Oh, okay. So the big celebration last week was just okay. I thought the
celebration. That's some people need some FaceTime on TV.
Whatever you want to call it. The fact that they assembled more people for that than the Jason Spezza March, I thought was pretty impressive.
True. Very, very
200
true.
People have nothing else going on in their life
yeah.
to show up for the celebration of McDonald's.
All right. Okay. So Simmer's going to Mexico tomorrow. Yeah. Hammer, what do you got up to? What are you up to
this
weekend?
Well, I'm not going to Mexico tomorrow.
Well, you're just back from Florida.
Yeah, exactly.
How are you guys with your sunny adventures?
I know. And Hammer's wife, Dan, asked if she could come on the trip with us. So I said, well, honestly, we were going to invite you, but Maddie said no. So I'm sure you ain't too happy about that.
We just came back from vacation. We don't need to go on
vacation.
But
she wanted something
again.
Solo. She wasn't talking about you going. She just wanted to get away.
Just herself. Don't we all?
It was that 24-hour continuous car ride back from Florida that did her in.
That's a solid
I need a vacation.
That's a
from
solid,
vacation.
Solid test of relationships.
No way. It was all good.
You're a tight group.
Big time, time. And I've got zero, zilch. I think we've got a little, I got a little cleaning to catch up on. She's got some to-do list for me. I don't know.
Do you really need to share that with us, that the highlight of your weekend is some cleaning?
Yeah, that's it.
That's the extent of it?
You asked the question. I couldn't say nothing. I got
sure
nothing.
You can. Well, that's really, that's most of my weekend.
You'd be a solid man, and you just got the couch the whole weekend. That's what you do.
It's pretty much what it is, driving kids here or there, everywhere, and that's about it.
I got my father-in-law's birthday party tomorrow night.
Oh.
Yeah.
How's that?
The piano.
What are we talking, JR, age-wise?
Good question.
Okay.
Older.
Yeah, well, for sure. Yeah,
It's not one that ends in zero.
No,
that's
okay.
All I know.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
In and around 80?
What is he like? He's like to have a sip of something once in a while?
Nope. Teetotaler.
Okay.
Sometimes take a little splash of something right at the bottom of the glass, but other than that, nope, never been a drinker. So.
Okay.
We don't share that in common.
No.
No.
Although I'm still on the wagon since the new year as well.
That's
so
awesome.
He and I
you're
do
still?
Have something. Yeah.
Good for you.
You're just stretching it, right? You're seeing how far you can go.
I figured I'd go to Easter. I go to the end of Lent, even though I'm not Catholic.
Okay.
I finish her off at this point.
Get yourself ready for golf season. Okay?
Exactly.
You know, you're already
start fighting with the boys.
All I'm doing is replacing it with just eating more. So really, at the end of the day, there hasn't been a slimming effect or anything like that.
Wouldn't you like a nice bevy? Don't you want a nice little weekend beverage?
Well, I found a couple of nice non-alcoholic beers, as I told you guys. The thing I do miss is a nice glass of wine with a good dinner.
Yeah.
I do miss that. But not that big a deal.
So we've got the non-alcoholic beer. How come we haven't gotten to a non-alcoholic wine or something?
There is.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's just
you know
garbage.
What? You know what? We tried it, my wife and I, and it tastes like cider. So it actually tasted pretty good. I don't remember the brand name, but it was like this is pretty good, but it tastes like cider.
Okay.
At the end of the day. So I mean it
doesn't give you it's not filling that void.
That's more juicy then, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And that was the I don't know that there's a non-alcoholic red. Out there that people would either know of and or recommend. Six Bush Lights, six Bud Lights, and I love them.
Six Bush Lights, six Bud Light, and I love them, tall boys.
That's the best. Well, there would be a bunch of, not that you're going to drink it, but there'd be a bunch of cooking wine out there, JR, right? That would would have no alcohol in it?
I'm not sure. Good question. Yeah. Anyway, so I don't really have any highlights this weekend. So we're going to wish you a bon voyage, Simmer. Have a great
time. Thank you very much.
A great time. Are there any adventures planned at this, snorkeling or deep sea diving?
No, nothing right now.
Shark fishing?
We had the boys last year. We did the caves, and we ended up going fishing, caught
this
a couple
is solo?
Of
solo? Just you and Mira?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay.
So it's going to be full chill.
This is going to be feet on the beach, right? Yeah. Feet on the sand picks?
Yeah. It really is. Yeah, there's not going to be a whole lot going on other than just chilling and reading the reviews. I'm a big review guy, so I've read through everything. So I'm a little nervous about the food at the resort. Everything else seems pretty good to go, but everybody, it's amazing how the contrast when you travel places, right, where, one group just rates it as the most incredible experience ever and great food, and then the next person is just telling the beach is too far and the pool isn't warm enough and the food's no good. So
don't read the 5 stars. Don't read the 1 stars. Read the 3 stars.
Oh, is that what it is? Oh,
that's where you'll find the truth.
The creamy middle.
Yes, sir.
Kind of like a good web poll question.
Yeah.
There you go. All right, 6:18. Let's get the show underway because we got a Sens game to talk about from last night. Man alive. Ottawa puts the boots to Tampa 7-2. Sure, if that says more about Ottawa or that says more about the Lightning. Anyway, we'll chat all about that and welcome your thoughts on the game. Of course, a big one ahead tomorrow with now, 10 games to go in the season for the Sens. They're in New Jersey to take on the high-flying Devils. That's the next game for Ottawa. So talk all about that. Talk about our visit yesterday with Mark Sutcliffe. Certainly some interesting things from the mayor, specifically to the location of the new arena, if and when that happens with a new ownership. And also, the Sens announcing the signing of Tyler Cleven as well. In fact, he was scheduled to arrive last night. Now, he didn't end up coming to the game, Hammer, that you saw. They didn't show him on the big screen.
Nope, nothing
point.
At all.
All right, he was scheduled to arrive last night. Don't know if that happened for sure. And is scheduled to be at practice for the first time today. The Sens will practice at 11:30 this morning. And potential of eyeballs on the newest Ottawa Senator, who we may see in the lineup at some point before the end of the season. So we'll talk about that as well and hear from Sens GM Pierre Dorion. So we got all of the hockey stuff. We got March Madness. Canada, by the way, has just finished off Turkey at the World Women's Curling Championship with a 10-4 win this morning, which moves them to 7-4. I haven't done all the math on the round robin, but I think that pretty much, if not does, clinch a spot in the playoff round for Carrie Einarsson's rink. So we'll bring you up to date, do all the math on that, and some baseball news as well. We're less than a week away from the start of the Major League Baseball season. We got lots of winning for you. We got Dave Poulin. Got lots of reason to stick around. And it's a Friday as well, right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. Welcome back, 626 on this Friday morning. It's J.R. Simmer and Hammer with you. We got a busy show on the way. We got our four-pack of tickets. See the Sens and Carolina in the final home game of the regular season, April the 10th. So stand by for your chance to win those. We'll have two more code words. Final day for you to qualify for a chance to win the Jake Sanderson custom jersey that we're going to be have given away and will be giving away this morning. So that we'll do a couple of code words for you as well. We'll have a visit with Dave Poulin, our TSN hockey insider. He'll join us after 8. Certainly welcome your wrenches as well on a wrench-throwing Friday. Anything in the world of sports, the world in general, that has bothered you the last 7 days, toss a wrench at it. Feel good going into the weekend. I'll toss the first wrench of the day at potholes. Asked the mayor about it yesterday. Do I ask on the air or off the air?
Off the air. Must have been off.
Off the air, yeah. It's like, can we do something about the potholes there, Mr. Mayor? Because they are especially... I say the same thing every year at this time. What's with the potholes? But what's with the potholes?
You should be able to have like four beer. I mean, I'll have six.
Did you ask him about, because I realized on the drive home that, hey, he didn't ask about those beautiful white buildings.
No, I forgot.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. No, yeah.
So they're really not that important to you.
No,
then.
They are. It's
really?
It blinds me. It's my rage has subsided enough because I've been raging about it for a couple of years now. The ugly buildings at the side of the 417 beside Moody. That it's just ingrained in me now, or I don't even notice.
Yeah, next time we break bread with them, though, you know, this here was very formal. We were doing a lot of hockey talk. Next time, we'll get down to the issues that are important to the city.
I have a wrench, too, that I haven't had to throw yet this season, but I'm throwing it now, and it's to the great, great people at the CTC parking lot that take care of lot 4 and exiting lot 4. There are 4 lanes you can use. They put pylons in 2, so it's nicely organized with just 2 lanes. 1 lane to go left and right, the other lane to go left onto Palladium there. Mm-hmm.
This is lot 4 is the one across the road
across
from the
Across the road.
Yeah, all right.
That keeps it well organized.
Yes.
And it's a gentleman leaving. Not last night, because they decided to remove the pylons in the other 2 lanes way too early, which then... people started to go through and make these 2 lanes 4 lanes, and then they expected me to let them in when you are clearly butting. So I guess I've got 2 wrenches. 1 wrench to the people that are taking advantage and think I'm going to let them in and then honk their horn at me because I'm not letting you in.
No.
Because you know the rules.
Yeah, you know the rules, and you know the impending road rage that's going to come.
Well, it's not like I've got a bumper sticker.
This guy's on the verge. He's out of the car.
He's going to blow everybody.
The other one.
Coat off, ready to throw.
And then to the great parking attendants that, you know, if the cars aren't gone, do not remove those pylons because then it's just chaos.
I tell you, last night I accidentally ate some cat medication.
Oh, yeah?
Don't ask meow.
Oh, dear. That was from last night?
That was from last night.
Okay. You've been working on that one, Eddie? Saving that one up for a big Alex DeBrincat night? Well, if you're going to do a meow joke, last night was a very, very appropriate time to do so.
Off the boards, here's Killorn, sends it ahead. And the Bolts break it out. Here's Stamkos to the line, crosses at the line, loses the puck. And back the other way, it's a 3-on-1. Batherson, DeBrincat, scores!
There you go. Dean Brown, Gord Wilson with the call of the opening goal of last night's game for the Sens. Alex DeBrincat scores it. He scored again shortly thereafter. And the Sens were on their way, although the Bolts kept it close for some of the first and second period. But eventually a 7-2 victory by Ottawa over the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah, and hey, you watch Batherson, JR, in a straight line. I don't recall him making a play like that this year. Most of his plays are this backhand, whatever's going on. That was some sweet sauce. And from a DeBrincat standpoint, not the hardest shot, but he did push it back the other way, which fooled Elliott. And Elliott struggles with any kind of above the pads. And then that second goal by DeBrincat, that's everything you're kind of asking for. And the pace on two, both of those guys last night, you start to say to yourself, my gosh, if you've got that along with Stützle, mix in Drew, Tkachuk, and a healthy Norris, who wouldn't be excited about that as a top six? So been very refreshing to watch that. And that almost felt like it pulled DeBrincat along yesterday.
I thought collectively, and again, I don't remember the early part of the year that well. We're all creatures of what's happened to us most recently. Our memory is made up of that other than the odd sporadic thing. But I thought collectively, Alex DeBrincat and Drake Batherson, who have played together a fair bit this season, that was collectively their, you know, their best games.
Absolutely.
Where the two of them
I totally agree. As you said, you have to comb back, but there had been long stretches, especially with Batherson, where there wasn't much happening. And then nights where DeBrincat had a little flash or was doing something on the power play. But this driving of the play and the DeBrincat second goal, JR, was everything that you expect. And first of all, that move to somehow get back into shooting position, but by driving the defender off. And from Bathurst's standpoint, same thing. So, yeah, that's pretty exciting to watch that last night if you're a Sens fan. And from a pace standpoint, boy, oh boy, it was just dominant from the Sens perspective versus that Tampa Bay Crew that, as they head into the playoffs there, that's a vulnerable bunch.
Mm. Alex DeBrincat has, he's not had as much goal scoring as anybody had thought he would for the entirety of the season, but especially since the calendar turned to 2023, it's been dry, especially 5-on-5, so he was a happy camper after the game last night.
It's been tough to get him by the goalies lately, so, that one felt good, and, obviously just carried on the game. I felt good for most of the game, and felt like our line did pretty well with back checking hard and stealing pucks and getting odd man rushes. So I think a lot of credit goes to my line mates. They played really well today, and we're moving the puck well.
That would be the aforementioned Drake Batherson and Shane Pinto, yeah. Who's moved into the middle of those two in the last couple of games as Ridley Gregg got to put down onto the third line.
You can throw out stats there, people throw out shooting percentage, all the other things. I don't care about that. I certainly care about results, but at the end of the day, quite simply, and Alex DeBrincat, we know from Chicago, we know from earlier in the year, when that pace is there versus chasing the play and trying to finish checks, that's exactly what you're hoping for, and that's why you get excited about a player like that. Driving the play, pushing things, as he said, stealing pucks versus standing around and forcing plays and doing things. Yeah, that was really refreshing. Like I said, from Batherson's standpoint, it's just incredible how all of a sudden, with him, there was always been pace. It's just kind of the switch has gone off where he's actually remembered how to play hockey. Like he is actually back to looking like the player before he got hurt in the All-Star situation. So that was real refreshing last night to see that tone set by both of those players. And just what a big difference it makes when you have Timmy Stützle and Tkachuk and even Drew, I thought, pace-wise, that it just takes everybody next level and makes that top six look awfully good should you introduce Mr. Norris back in.
Now, I don't know whether this was Drake Batherson talking after the game day skate yesterday or after the game might have been anyway. It doesn't matter, and I don't know who put it out, but Drake Batherson was asked about, his game, which, last night was good, but there's been a series of pretty good performances from him lately. Mm-hmm. Certainly seems to be playing better hockey right now, and he has mentioned that the high ankle sprain that he suffered early in the calendar year last year, so I guess midway through the season.
So basically a year.
Right? Yeah, it's been a year. He said he's finally getting over that now,
wow.
Which, this would be the one, of course, Aaron Dell, the Sabres goalie, that cost him a spot. The All-Star game, he came back at the end of last year, right? Yeah, he did. And then all of this year, it's been kind of, for the most part, everybody's been saying, well, where's that pre-All-Star game, Drake Batherson? Yeah. Where's that been? Yeah. Well, maybe in part, we're not going to allow the entire thing to be explained away, but in part having to do with the fact that he was still feeling the effects, he says, until recently, of that high ankle sprain.
Yeah, very interesting, Jer, and whether that's physical or mental, and just having the comfort in. Anybody that suffered from that understands that it can linger. A little surprising after having a complete off-season off that you'd end up having any of that, but once in a while, there's that little twitch, or as I said, trusting yourself when you're turning, when you're doing some different things there to be super comfortable. So whatever it is, it's nice to see it have clicked back in. Like I said, that is a completely different hockey player that we've seen here in the last whatever stretch versus what we see on most of the year.
All right, so forward-wise, it was all working. Obviously, when you get 7 goals, that happens. Back on defense, first of all, Erik Brännström. with a Bobby Orr-esque end-to-ender. Did that tip off the defenseman's stick? Is that the reason, or was it Brian? Like, listen, I don't want to take anything away. It was a really nice play.
Yeah.
This sounds like there's a butt on here because it was a really nice play.
Yeah.
But it kind of felt like that should have been saved, but it wasn't. And anyway, nice play from Erik Brännström, just his second goal of the season. That put them ahead 4-2. That really kind of cemented the game. They seemed to have it under control, yet Tampa was sort of hanging around.
Yeah.
But the other part of last night was we saw some at least one new defense pairing of on a little bit of a trial. Shabbat and Chychrun playing together last night. Here's DJ Smith on that.
I thought they were jumping, they were snapping pucks. You know, we're going to need them to obviously defend, but also get up in the rush and make plays and get pucks to the net. You know, but in saying that, I think, you know, that Zub-Sanderson pair continues to work against the other team's top line. Hammer does what he does in the penalty kill, but I thought maybe our best defenseman tonight was Brännström.
There you go. Kind of ran through the whole thing, but they were jumping and they were snapping pucks.
Yeah.
Thomas Chabot and Jake Chychrun before he left the game midway through the third. The update, by the way, on Chychrun after the game from the coach was that he figured it was, even though he did crack into the boards and looked like he injured his kind of his lower body, his foot or his ankle, he did say it was seemed to be, from his opinion, more cramping related. And more because, he had some dental work done earlier in the day, had root canal, hadn't been sleeping very well, and the Sens had put the game away. So doesn't sound anyway like it's going to be anything serious. It's going to keep Chychrun out of the lineup.
Yeah, interesting. And you look from a slotting standpoint, that makes a lot of sense. Now, how you go 1 through 4, but truly, for the Ottawa Senators going forward, JR, I'd have Sanderson as 1A, and I'd actually have Chabot as 1B. And now some people aren't still down on Chabot, but hey, you got that. And if you want to go into the 3 spot with Chychrun, 4 to Zub, right now Brännström to 5, we'll see what happens. But, boy, first time in a long time where you've got options and you truly do have, you know, the makings of an excellent defense for the Ottawa Senators. So Brännström, nice to see him flourishing as he switches in and around partners and does some different things. And he had that beautiful outlet pass, little bank pass on the DeBrincat goal as well, and did some real nice things offensively, not to mention his continued better defensive play.
Yep, and of course, interesting into the mix of all of that, we now introduce one Tyler Cleven, who was signed yesterday morning by the Sens, or at least the announcement was made shortly after we signed off yesterday. The Sens prospect who, well, since his college season ended last Friday, there was talk of that maybe everything wasn't quite as smooth in terms of a negotiation as was hoped. Sometimes these things get done in a matter of hours and or a day or two. Mm-hmm. This one dragged into Thursday, so it was a few days. And I mean, you had talked to you talked to Brad Berry, right? The North Dakota coach,
exactly.
And about how things were going. Anyway, it all got ended up getting done, which is the most important thing at the end of the day. Tyler Cleven, as we mentioned, was scheduled to arrive in Ottawa last night. He is scheduled to practice today with the Sens for the first time. And according to Pierre Dorion, we're likely to see him get in some games at some point between now and the end of the season. Here is the general manager on signing Tyler Cleven.
He's someone that we're really excited to have join our organization. He's someone that is a unique player in our estimation. He's big, he skates, he's rangy, he defends. I think people will be very appreciative of his skill set because he can also really shoot the puck. He's someone that he's not the type of defenseman that we have right now in our pool of prospects or on our team. So he's someone that we're really excited to have to come to terms with.
There you go. There's Pierre Dorion on Tyler Cleven.
Yeah, and real good news is we just signed off. And, the fact he's coming near to Ottawa, and I wonder if with Sanderson and Pinto and everybody else just kind of talking about it and big picture, realizing this is a fun group to be a part of. And hey, let's see what he's all about. And I'm very excited to see him end up getting some games, JR. And as I said, I've got a lot of respect for Brad Berry, and there's no reason for him to push it, but he feels like he's very close to playing in the National Hockey League. So how does that play out? How does that play out the rest of the year? But more important, as you get to training camp next year, you know, are you going to go the route of a defense that's that young, mix in a Cleven? Who does that 6 spot go to? Do you bring back Hamonic? Do you bring back Brännström? Right now, there's some nice problems to end up having, which you haven't seen in a long time. And I'm just excited to see what he's all about at the NHL level.
Yeah, for sure. And especially because, when prospects that you don't see a lot of, whether playing junior hockey or college hockey, right, you mainly see highlights. And what are highlights? Highlights are mainly like high, as in good, right? You don't see the entire. You don't see a package of here's some really bad plays by the prospects.
No,
right?
for sure.
It's a best of a compilation.
That's when you're lighting people up.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Doesn't show you getting burned.
No. So to be able to see the good and the bad, the warts. Because he is a young defenseman. There's always a learning curve. I guess the question will be how long will the learning curve be? Mm-hmm. As mentioned, the general manager said there was no promise of hey you'll get a NHL game before the end of the season. Now, him just signing, given his age, him signing a professional contract and not an American Hockey League tryout with his contract starting next year means the first year of the three-year deal was burned anyway. So he doesn't have to play a game to burn the first year. So that part of it, but all that to say, there was not a promise that he will get a game.
Yeah.
We'll see how, the rest of the schedule plays itself out in terms of the Sens remaining in the race. I don't think at this point, barring injury, they want to upset the apple cart as far as moving pieces around and introducing, rookies into the lineup when they've still got a chance, potentially a slim chance. That they can do something. But if that window does close, I think it's a pretty good chance we'll see Tyler Cleven for at least one game before the end of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, an opportunity to acclimate yourself, to practice with the guys. Does that mean, hey, forecast in the next fall? Well, we'll see. I mean, the biggest thing, JR, when you look at a guy like this, the physicality, you're not having any expectations. You're going to get out and run around. You got to gauge the pace. I'm curious to see where his foot speed is at, his ability to quite simply make simple plays and to defend at this level. That's a big change of pace from college hockey. So we will see.
Indeed. All right. So as mentioned, he's scheduled to be at practice today. The Sens will be on the ice at 11:30 this morning. So we'll be out at Canadian Tire Center, the boys from In the Box, and let you know the very latest on all that. And he thinks at some point we're going to hear from Tyler Cleven for the first time in his decision to sign with the Sens. And then back on the ice tomorrow night for a game as they're back on the road to face the New Jersey Devils. The schedule does not get any easier, most certainly. The Devils present a whole lot of fun, and not in a good way. So that'll be tomorrow night, 7 o'clock here on TSN 1200. And then back home to take on the Florida Panthers coming up on Monday night. And Panthers lost last night to the Leafs, and the Sens won. Pittsburgh lost in Dallas last night. So as you check your NHL standings this morning, I mean, they got as close as 3 points when they left on the five-game road trip, the Sens did, to a playoff spot. As they are sitting this morning, they are 5 points back of the Penguins and 4 back of the Panthers. Everybody has 10 games to go in the season. Now, I kind of took a quick look at the schedule and mentioned that the Sens have had a tough schedule, and it's still relatively tough. They've kind of gotten through a lot of the worst of it, but still some tough games. 5 of the last 10 games are against, or 7 of the last 10 are against playoff teams. Whereas Pittsburgh's schedule is relatively speaking, pretty easy. Caliber of opponents, that is. And Florida's is kind of in the middle. So, again, got to beat them. At the end of the day, you got to beat them. Anyway, we'll come back. We'll talk about the scoreboard, rest of the hockey stuff, and to take a trip around the rest of the world of sports on a busy Thursday night. Again, Sens and Devils go at it tomorrow night here on TSN 1200. We got 67s hockey for you tonight as they kick off their final 2 games of the regular season, hosting the Peterborough Petes, coming off a 4-1 win over the Petes on the road last night. That's a 7 o'clock faceoff from TD Place Arena and right here on TSN 1200. Welcome back, 6:48 on this Friday morning. J.R. Simmer and Hammer with you. Sens hammer Tampa 7-2. They're back out on the road taking on the New Jersey Devils coming up tomorrow night, 7 o'clock faceoff here on TSN 1200. Sens also keeping an eye on the out-of-town scoreboard. Leafs were down in Florida. Morgan Rielly was given the they're doing some managing of the minutes for the key players for the Maple Leafs, as he was a healthy scratch last night due to rest. As the Leafs were down in Florida, Leafs are home and cooled for a playoff spot. Still, I guess sort of racing against Tampa for home ice advantage, though I don't know that that's that big a deal to teams now. Anyway, they scratched Rielly for the game last night. Did not matter because the Leafs put the boots to the Panthers.
In goes Nylander, near side bunting. Nylander in the clear, left circle, back in front. Oh, what a save, Bobrovsky, as he was there to make the save, but they play it back out in front after Tavares was stopped. He centers it to the front of the goal, and they score a power play goal for Bunting, and Toronto takes a 4-2 lead.
I get the sense of listening to the crowd in the background of that the puck actually entering the net, and by the time our announcer friend actually announced that it was a goal. There was about, what, 5 seconds difference?
Well, I thought they were going to hear the goal call in there. Like, seriously, like, you can tell the reaction even on the road. And there would have been a fair amount of Leafs fans, but that was like a totally, like, I'm okay. I'm like, why is Hammer playing a stoppage of play? And sure enough, it goes back. But
there's a lot of description about how great the save was by Bobrovsky. Meanwhile, Bunting had put in the rebound about five. Anyway, 6-2 is the final. Leafs beat the Panthers on the out-of-town scoreboard. Meanwhile, Pittsburgh, which right now is in the second wild card spot, finished up a back-to-back. They were in Colorado, beat the Avalanche two nights ago. They went down to Dallas. You're going to talk about a tough back-to-back. Down to Dallas last night to take on the Stars.
Stars come up ice. Here's Dadonov down the left side at the near circle. Passes for Domi. Shoots to Smith. Denies him. Rebound. They score. Jamie Benn on the follow-up puts it into the back of the net. It's 3-1 Dallas.
Yeah, and they would hang on. Dallas would for a 3-2 victory over Pittsburgh. So, combined with Ottawa's win last night, here's your standings with 10 games to go for the final playoff spot in the Eastern Conference. Pittsburgh's at 80 points. Florida is at 79 points. Washington, which won last night over Chicago, is at 76 points. And the Sens are at 75 points. So they are 5 points back of Pittsburgh, which right now holds that playoff spot. Again, each of the teams has 10 games left. And, of course, Ottawa does play Florida twice within those final 10 games, including the game on Monday night.
Yeah, and just realization, nobody running away. And I call that the triple D right there. You got Dallas, you got Domi, you got Daddy. Mm. Hey, how good is that? Yeah. A little triple D action. But, no, every one of these teams is super vulnerable from a, you know, any of them. You see some of the nights where what do you make of Florida? What do you make of Pittsburgh? What do you make of any of them? But I guess from a Sens perspective, just enjoy the ride and enjoy coming off of a great victory against Tampa last night. And from Toronto's side, JR, like this has to be, I'm not saying it has to be the year, but in watching Tampa, I know they'll turn it on a tad in the playoffs, but that team right now is tired. They appear to be a fair about moody. I don't think they're getting along overly well, and right now, hey, they're it's a vulnerable hockey team. Now, Elliott for Vasilevsky is certainly a big difference, but if there's a year where the Leafs are going to take him down, it's this year.
Yes, I agree on everything you said.
Yeah.
Except that's probably the way we've talked in each of the past 2 or 3 years.
Oh, no, for sure.
About the Lakers.
Well,
not
quite to that level, though. I mean, they had won 2 cups, and then they went to a final.
But at this time of the year, where they'd had a bit of a dip, and the Lightning, are they, last year, they went to the last 2 Stanley Cup finals, and one of them was in the middle of the summer.
I just don't remember their play being so sporadic, and you point out the record in the 20 games, and I thought, hey, you know, when a coach benches his 3 best players, or 3 of his best, and you get no response the next game, and then you lose to Montreal, one of the worst teams in the league. You think, well, you're going to roll into Ottawa. You got a day off, and you're going to show your best. And the reaction from old Coops there when Stamkos turned over the puck, you just see it. Like
old Cooch is pretty quiet these days, too.
Yeah, for sure. I don't. He would be the type to me. He would take to me at that point that benching very personal, and he just looks at times. He looks almost anonymous when you're right now. Having said that, does he not have 100 points?
Yes.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah. But pretty last good. Night I was just talking about...
No, no, for sure, for sure.
Do,
but
do very much.
Yeah. No, I agree.
All right, so despite the win last night and the losses by the teams that they're chasing, Ottawa's chance of making the playoffs, so this is all based on how you're playing, what your schedule is, everything else. It got as low as 0.9%. That was before the Pittsburgh game.
Yeah.
0.9% before the Pittsburgh game on Monday.
Yeah.
They've won 2 of their last 3.
Yeah.
It's now up to... 2.1%.
Nice.
So you're saying there's a chance. Oh. It's grown by 1.2% over the past 3 games.
If you could, you know, you think about investments. If you can almost double more than double
in
your
four
investment.
Days.
That, yeah. Also, some insider information there, because we talked about the goaltending situation. It sounds like they were going to go with Fergie, but he was not fully healthy. So they decided to go with Sogard, which ended up being pretty good.
That's what you're going with, eh?
Coach, actually, I have no information, and I'm lying. But
Coach was asked after the game. I think Ian Mendez asked DJ Smith about how much of a debate it was about whether, because Dylan Ferguson was healthy enough that they had sent Mandalize down.
Yeah, for sure.
But he did. DJ Smith did say that Ferguson, despite the fact that he was healthy enough to back up, he goes, he hadn't been on the ice at all in the intervening 2 days. And so it really wasn't a debate at all.
Yeah, well,
Sogard was the only healthy one, really.
Well, forget about that anyway. But I got to say, from Sogard's standpoint, guys, you come off of that Toronto game where I thought he was outstanding. Now it was continuing on where They were scoring five a night, but the way he played, then all of a sudden you go into a big game in Pittsburgh, and this guy out of nowhere that nobody's ever heard of plays. Well, how does Sogard respond? He is outstanding against Boston, and I thought right from the very beginning last night, JR, he just looked like he was in charge. He was moving well, super confident. The glove hand looked great, and that type of response to me after just a little bit of a reset there on that, it says a lot to me. Like, if you're a Sens fan and you watch those last three games, and especially the last two, only allowing two goals in both Boston and now against Tampa Bay, you have to be very pleased. I thought that was a really great sign of some mental toughness and quite simply bouncing back. I was really, really impressed.
Thanks for coming around on that.
Oh, no, I've always been a big fan. But as far as start, but it, no, yes. It really was. I those little signals of stuff, and like I said, I thought that was I was just so impressed.
All right, so again, Sens win 7-2 on the practice ice today at 11:30, and then on the road to New Jersey tomorrow night, and then back home to face the Florida Panthers on Monday night. Okay, that's the NHL story. Quickly touch on March Madness, four games in the Sweet 16. Last night we had a blowout. We had a 23-point win over UConn, over Arkansas. Actually, the last game of the night was the best game of the night between Gonzaga and UCLA that went back and forth. UCLA was down by 9 with about 2 minutes to go, rallied to go up by 1 with just mere seconds left.
Strother will get it in. Salas picks it up. Clock starts, 11 seconds. Salas across the timeline. Pitch it back, Strother. Deep three from the top of the key. Got it! Oh, he hit it! Strother from the top. 7 seconds left. Campbell on the run. Into the front court. Drives the right side. Stripped away. Strother's got it. Fouled with 1.1 to go.
There you go. And there you go. There's Gonzaga's winning three or go-ahead three with just a handful of seconds left. And they eventually hang on for a 79-76 win over UCLA. And Gonzaga moves on to the Elite Eight and eliminates JR from contention in Matt Scooby's March Madness
Pool. Oh, is it?
Pool.
Okay, yeah.
It was coming down to me versus Creech.
Okay.
And Creech had Gonzaga going further, and I had UCLA.
Okay.
So when I woke up this morning and saw the final score, I said, ah, darn it.
Crumple up that piece of paper and throw it in the garbage.
Exactly.
Boy, what a program Gonzaga's had, for a number of years. And when you think of, I guess, about high profile or big names and never think of them that way, but it has not been a one and done. They've had a sustainable program now for a long time.
Well, it almost has become now in college basketball. You've got your one and done schools, and Kentucky was the poster school for that for a long time.
Yeah,
Duke
is
now that way as well, where you get the most highly recruited guys, but the guy coming out of high school or prep school, but they're only in, we can't go right to the NBA. We have to go 1 year somewhere. So those are, those are the two schools for sure that are the one and done schools for the most part. And then a lot of other schools are the 4 year schools where the guys aren't quite as highly recruited.
Yeah.
But you know, when you get them, by the time that they're around for, two and three and then into their senior season, you're going to have a very polished veteran player. And so you're seeing a lot of these teams, and Gonzaga would be one of those schools. Yeah. Like Drew Timmy had 36 points last night. He, he's a really, really good player. I don't know if he's a huge NBA prospect, but scored 36 points in that game last night. I mean, that's huge as a senior.
Yeah, it really is, and I do like that. And you think back to those original Duke teams, and we got to know and hate them so much because they continued to return every year. It was really that's where our mentality worked for a long time, that you're, of course, going to do your 4 years of college.
All right, so there you go. Kansas State, by the way, won a dramatic overtime game over Michigan State. Florida Atlantic, we'll see what Princeton does tonight. They're the Cinderella's, a 15 seed, but I don't know that a lot of people had Florida Atlantic as a 9 seed moving on to the Elite Eight, but they came back and beat Tennessee last night. So Florida Atlantic will take on Kansas State in the East Final.
Do they have a pretty good football program as well, Florida Atlantic?
No, you're thinking of Central Florida.
Central Florida, okay,
yeah.
Okay.
And then you had, it'll be Gonzaga versus UConn. UConn was the big blowout winner last night. They beat Arkansas. So there you go. Four more games tonight, including the two remaining number one seeds, Alabama and Houston, going at it. And as mentioned, the 15 seed Princeton Tigers the real Cinderellas, they're playing tonight as well. All right, 6:59. Welcome your thoughts on the Sens, on Tyler Cleven, on what Mark Sutcliffe had to say with us yesterday. Any of that is welcome, as well as your wrenches as well. You can text us at 12-1200, tweet at us at TSN1200. We'll take a break for a top-of-the-hour news and sports update and come back with hour two. We'll hear from Pierre Dorion, his thoughts, because with Cleven now on board, and see what his timeline is as far as being a National Hockey League player, whether it's, you know, beginning next season full-time or whether it's further down the road. But he does add to the top of the food chain is littered with a lot of left-shot defensemen. And the organization has come around on the thoughts of left-shot defensemen playing on the right side. Anyway, we'll hear from what the general manager had to say about that. And we'll hear what Thomas Chabot had about, he thinks about playing on the offside as well. Anyway, get into all of that. More on the Sens win over the Lightning last night. Another code word for you next hour. Dave Poulin will join us coming up after 8. Lots still ahead on this Friday morning on Sports Radio TSN 1200.